Hey guys, it's Mia Baker here and welcome to the 12th episode of Unsussed. Today's podcast is going to be so much fun because I have actually managed to get golf hacker, rugby lover, beer drinker, who likes to call himself my landlord. However, I personally refer to him as my boyfriend, George, to join me in today's episode. I put up an Insta story the other day for you to share any questions you'd like me to ask him. So thank you so much to everyone who wrote in. Now, he doesn't actually know what the questions are yet, so there might be a few surprises in there for him. I hope you guys enjoy this one. And on that note, let's get started. We are currently sat in our flat. We're finally back in London. I'm sat opposite George. Welcome, George, to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm surprised it's taken this many episodes for me to get on, but...
He has actually been... You've been nagging me a little bit, like, when am I coming on the podcast?
Well, not, I wouldn't say nagging.
You love being...
Hinting.
You love being on all types of social, really.
Yes, you know, you've got to get yourself across all mediums.
How do you feel about coming on today's pod?
Well, let's just say I was dreaming about it last night.
Oh my God, this is literally how it's going to be. You're just going to be saying the most ridiculous things. This is genuinely what I have to live with in my day-to-day life.
I know, it's tiring, isn't it?
So maybe you can just do a little introduction into yourself, where you're from, what you do, your hobbies, interests.
Well, I think you've covered it all. I'm a golf hacker, apparently, a rugby lover, a beer drinker.
You're a big rugby lover and a big beer drinker.
Yeah, yeah.
You know London via pubs.
I know, but that's the good way to, you know, navigate. I'm from South Wales. I have lived in London for 5 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started golf when I was 13 or 14, although my grandparents were really keen on golf. My grandpa, on my dad's side, was actually a scratch player. But I think they tried to get us into golf, but because my dad didn't really love golf, it didn't trickle down. But there was always golf clubs around their house, so we could have a hit when we were there. But I only started popping when I was about 13. I had a few lessons with my mum and then just played sporadically until I was 18, and then didn't touch a set of golf clubs for about 10 years. And like a lot of people in lockdown, I started picking it up again, mostly because all my friends played. And don't look at me like that. It was before I'd met you, so I had my own
set. You said it was exactly the same time, no, incidentally.
I actually had a set of clubs before I met you, didn't I? My good old Dunlops.
Yeah, your trusted Dunlops. Yeah. They did you well, really.
They did. Nearly got a hole in one with one, do you remember, at the Grove?
Yes. Yeah. Beat, what's his name, John Terry?
Yeah.
Nearest to the pin.
Exactly.
You shocked yourself just as much as everyone else.
No, I did, yeah. Went straight. But yeah, no, my first love was, well, still is my love, was rugby in terms of sport.
I was waiting for you to say me.
Second love to rugby. Yeah, so I played rugby all my life. Just finished this season. Kind of gets in the way of golf. Rugby gets in the way of golf a bit on the weekends.
Gets in the way of rugby also.
I also get really hurt, not hurt, but like stiff from playing golf, from playing rugby, which impacts on my golf, particularly if I'm playing the next day. But
yeah, so yeah. I think you should just give up rugby and just stick to golf. It's much safer, much more fun.
Well, yeah.
I guess less injuries.
It's quite cool that you can drink whilst you're playing golf. You can't really drink when you're playing rugby.
No,
you can drink before
really.
And after, not yes. During.
And we went to the same uni, actually, didn't we? We both went
we
to Exeter.
Did. Yes.
You were in the year above, though.
I was. I
didn't know you.
Well, you knew of me.
No. He tells this terrible story. I'm sure he's going to tell you it now.
Would you like me to?
Go on.
Well, at Exeter, I played rugby, and I was in. I played in varsity, and Mia attended varsity, and she definitely spotted me then, and also... to put the cherry on top of the cake, for some reason, the university decided to put a massive poster of me outside the gym. It's about 10-foot poster of me, I would say.
It's the biggest poster I've ever seen of any human, which he actually got out on our very first day. I don't actually know why he did that. I don't know why I came back for a second date. But anyway, yeah, he had this massive 10-foot post that was outside of the gym at Exeter.
And Mia used to see it every single day. And since then, she's been tracking me down.
Apparently so.
Mm. Yeah.
And what do you do for work?
I'm a lawyer.
Yes. What type of law?
I do real estate finance.
Yes. Very interesting.
And would you like to tell people what that is? Because I have told you before.
No, I know. You basically write contracts for big transactions of large buildings such as hotels and stadiums, etc., etc.
Yeah, well done. You do listen.
Thank you. So before we get started, I think we should actually touch on one of the most asked questions. So you know, I put up a question box on my Insta story. A lot of them were about your hair transplant, because a lot of you know you from your hair transplant, because we shared your story online.
Yep.
So many people actually found it really valuable, which was so nice. Like, I showed you all of the messages as well. And you went into your, do I call it an operation? Is it an operation?
Yep.
Into the operation, having read a lot of messages from people who've done it before. And it was quite comforting to you, really, wasn't it, to hear someone else's story?
Yes, because it was always such, it was, when I booked it, it was always, you know, that thing far in the distance, because I think it was probably booked about 3 months before. And then with work and life, I was just busy, not really thinking about it. But the night before, when you actually started to think about it, I was a little bit apprehensive, just because I've never really had surgery before. And you're actually awake for all of it as well, which is, I guess, possibly a slightly more scary concept, considering they're, you know, fiddling around on the top of your head, cutting things out. So to hear a few messages was quite nice the night before, because I hadn't really thought about it too much. And then all of a sudden I started to worry that I was going into an operation at 7 a.m. the next morning.
Mm. Why did you actually want to get it done?
I'd actually been kind of against having a hair transplant and just sort of letting nature take its course and, you know, accepting the fact that I was going to be, you know, basically just have no hair. But over lockdown, it got a lot worse. And I just thought, well, A, I don't want to be bald under 30. And B, if I'm going to do it, now's the time to do it, because I can just go away, secretly do it. No one will see, and no one will be able to, you know, see the regrowing process. So it'll be a bit more subtle, but
no one will see the regrowing process apart from my whole Instagram account.
Yeah, exactly. And also as well, the UK started to come out of lockdown, so I was actually out and about with a skinhead, but, you know.
People said you look good with a skinhead as well.
Yeah.
I mean, looking back at the photos, it is quite hilarious, but
yes.
You look better in person.
Yes. I think at the time it didn't look too bad, but looking back on photos now, definitely better with hair.
Yeah. So do you want to just run quickly through for anyone who hasn't heard already, but like what the actual procedure is of getting your hair done, and also like how you found the place that you actually ended up getting it done?
Yeah. So basically what happens is they take hair from the back and sides of your head and they put it on the top of your head where you're losing hair. So it could be anywhere, you know, the front or the crown. But they just cut the hair follicles out of the back of your head.
And like scoop it a little bit.
I think they have this little machine which does a circular cut around your hair follicle. So they take the little bit of skin and the hair follicle itself out.
I'm kind of thinking of like a putting green when they make the new holes in the putting green. It's literally like that.
It's like that, but on a much smaller scale. And then they make lots of little incisions in the top of your head where you need to have the hair. And then they exactly the same number. So they're counting the whole time they're doing it as well. So I think they took 2,414. Out the back of my head, and then they make exactly the same number of cuts on the top of my head, and then they just stick them back in. And then it takes about, well, for the next 2 weeks you need to be really careful not to fall out, because they're very, very loose. So the recovery process for the first 2 weeks is the most key part, because you don't want it to fall out.
Conveniently, you couldn't lift a finger.
No, much like the rest of the year, to be honest.
So apparently you can't really bend down initially in case like hair follicles fall out. You kind of need it to
set.
Yeah, almost. And then we had to wash your hair with baby shampoo.
Yep.
Like pouring it out of a jug. I'd basically had a large child.
Yes. Mm. And it was great.
And how did you choose where you got it done?
So fortunately I had a friend. Last time I said a friend and he was really annoyed that he didn't get a shout out. So Patrick Roper. There you go. There's your shout out. Who's actually had a couple done before. And so he was giving me a lot of advice when I decided to get it done. He went out to Turkey for his. And obviously, places like Turkey can do it a lot cheaper than the UK. And so I did do some research there. I also did loads of research with the help of you as well, Mia.
To be fair, I was a bit nervous about you going to Turkey. Like for me, something like a hair transplant is kind of scary. Like I didn't like encourage you to do it. I didn't really mind what you did. It's like your choice. Mm. But I just wanted to make sure that wherever you went was
safe.
Yeah, that was the most important to me. Because if you were going to do it, then I wanted to make sure that, like, if you were in Turkey, I couldn't really help. I'd have to wait for you to come home back off the flight. Whereas if you're in England, yeah. Like, I drove you there, I drove you back. I could look after you when you came home.
Exactly. Yeah. Florence Nightingale, weren't you?
You know what I mean, though.
So I explored the Turkey options, but they were, I mean, I wouldn't put anyone off going to Turkey, but I think it's a lot easier going in the UK. It's a lot more of a known concept. You know, I found there was a bit of a language barrier on the messages, and you don't really know where these places are, but they are cheaper. So, but we then looked at a load of places in the UK. Also, as well, on the note of Turkey, we were in lockdown, so I don't think I could actually fly there at the time. So I would have had to wait even longer for, you know, Turkey to go back on the amber list or the green list or whatever the traffic light system was at the time in the UK. I was quite keen to just get it done. So we started exploring options in the UK and looked at Harley Street in London, which is, I guess, sort of the most known place. But I went to a consultation and it didn't feel right. And I felt like with this type of stuff, you need to have, you know, a good gut feeling about it. And it didn't feel right. So ended up exploring other options. In fact, my friend Patrick Roper again, shout out. He told me about this place on Instagram and we had a look at it. And there's quite a lot of...
What was the place you got it done called?
It's called KSL Hair Clinic.
Yeah, in Maidstone, isn't it, Kent?
Yeah, and they've got a couple of other surgeries. I think there's one in Manchester and possibly one in Birmingham. But they were really good. I actually had an online consultation or a consultation over like Zoom because of the timings in the UK and being in lockdown, etc. And it was really good. The guy was knowledgeable. His name is Lee. And he also made me feel very easy about the procedure. Because I think it helped that he knew a lot about it. And then because he had, you know, a lot of knowledge, that puts you at ease somewhat. And so after this online consultation, I sort of...
Took the plunge.
Took the plunge, exactly.
Mm. And how long was the procedure? And then how long did it take for your hair to grow back to where it is now? It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good now. I mean, I've got hair in places I don't think I ever had hair. I remember when I sat down in the morning, they shave your hair off. And then the guy basically draws the line on your head where they're going to put your hairline. And he was saying to me, I don't think we can go straight across. It would look a bit too unnatural. And then he drew a line on my head and I looked in the mirror and I was like, I've literally never had hair there before. Start the procedure now. So it takes, I started about 7 a.m, but there was a bit of form filling and, you know, that bit at the start where they shave your head and draw the line on, etc. So I'm not sure exactly what time we started, probably around 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we were done by about 2:30. And there was a break in the middle. I think it takes about... an hour and a half, 2 hours to take all the hair follicles out the back of your head. So you'll just lay face down on a table, a bit like a massage table, with because you've got a hole for your head, and they just take all of your hair follicles out of the back of your head. And I actually fell asleep during that part because I was very tired from work. And they also give you a lot of local anaesthetic. So I just, fell asleep during that moment.
Good Lord.
And then, and then you have lunch at like 10 o'clock, which is great. And then the second part, I think, takes about 2 hours again, maybe 2.5 hours to do all the cuts and then put all the hairs in. So, done by about 2:30.
Mm.
And then on the way home.
Yeah, then you get home and you think everything looks fine. Then you do get some swelling.
Yeah, so swelling starts about 3 days afterwards.
No, your swelling started when you got home and I looked to my right because we were sat on the sofa.
That was 2 days afterwards.
No, it wasn't. I'm pretty sure it was the day. And no, because you were still wearing your crazy shirt.
I think I wore that shirt. No, I wore my zebra shirt for the procedure.
Yeah, this is wild. He just literally was wearing animal print the whole duration of this.
Yeah, because, and there's good reason for this, they advise not wearing t-shirts, jumpers, that sort of thing, which you have to pull over your head because that could give you, it gives the opportunity for hair follicles to be knocked out. So you have to wear button-up shirts and it was summer as well, so it was quite hot. So all of my button-up shirts are kind of like festival shirts, zebra print and pretty funky ones. So
anyway, there is a more swelling. I didn't expect any swelling. You didn't warn me of that.
I thought I told you.
No, but basically we were sat on the sofa. We were having a very lovely time chatting, whatever. I turned to my right and George, honestly, you looked like an alien. The whole top of your forehead had just swollen.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, like out of nowhere.
Yes, there was quite a lot of swelling on the top of my head. And then over the next days, it just moved down my face.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, my mum and family came to see me on the day when it was definitely worst, where the swelling was around my eyes. And I was having to actually ice pack my eyes because my eyes were closing up. But it's not painful. It's just liquid in your head.
So funny, that was the first time you actually met my mum, because it was COVID as well. Mm. We hadn't really gone out of the house and she just thought you looked like that. And my brother did too. They were like, okay, that's me as Joy.
Yeah. It wasn't a great first impression, but...
So funny. How long does it take for it to get back to where it is now?
Well, it's been almost a year now.
Yeah.
It probably takes about... The slightly galling thing is when the hair goes in initially, it's there and you're like, oh my God, I've got hair. This is amazing. And then it all falls out. But it probably takes about 6 months for about 50% to come through. And then 9 months is about 75%. And then apparently about a year is when you get the full regrowth. So I'm almost there. And there's definitely a few weeks where it's been a long time and you've obviously been patient and you think, I'm not sure if this is ever going to come through, but it does in the end.
Yeah, because you said to me, I remember quite clearly, you were like, I know people said, oh, there's a time when you think, is it ever going to come through? But I genuinely am thinking, is it ever going to come through? And like, you didn't believe it. And then we just waited and it eventually.
Because it does take quite a few months. Mm. And I don't know, you're expecting... we live in this age now where you expect instant results, don't you?
Exactly. And really interestingly, one of the most common questions about your hair has been the curliness of it, the curliness of your new hair. Yeah. And they said, is it or does it feel the same as pre-hair loss? And was it wavy, curly, straight before? And is it different now?
I've always had curly hair. I'd say like sort of wavy. It's not super, well,
it's pretty curly. When it gets to a certain length, it turns to wavy. Like, your hair used to be extremely long because you used to sweep it over.
Oh, yeah. That looked good.
And you used to wear a cap all the time, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my hair has always been curly. So the hair is exactly the same as your normal hair because it obviously comes from your own head. I'd say, does it feel the same? Yeah. I think it's slightly thinner. Just because I've got quite thick hair in the places where I have hair. And so I don't think they can really make it quite as thick. But Otherwise, yeah, feels pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah, no, lots of people are saying it's looking really great. And are you happy with the result?
I am, yes. I mean, if I hadn't had it done, I would be bald now for sure, because my hair loss definitely deteriorated at a rapid pace. There's no bad thing in being bald, obviously, or, you know, shaving your hair short. But I just chose that I wanted to have hair for a few more years. But yeah, definitely happy with the results. I just think, you know, with hindsight, you think, oh, maybe I could have done this a bit sooner. But I think when I did it was probably, well, I hadn't really considered it before. So I obviously did it at the right time for myself.
But doing it too soon is also not good, because you'll probably have to get another one even sooner, I guess.
Yes. You also can't put, you can't do it in places where you actually have some hair. So the procedure can actually knock your natural hair out. So you do actually have to have quite a significant amount of hair loss. You can't just do it on your normal hair, because there's a chance it could actually make your hair, which you actually have, fall out. So you kind of have to wait, unfortunately, for you to have a certain level of hair loss.
Yeah, I'd say you're a pretty confident person, but do you feel like it's changed your confidence or even the way you feel about yourself, or you just wanted it?
Yeah, I would say I was never really, I don't think it ever really put me down. I think looking back at photos now, I do look at them and I'm like, whoa, I had a very bad hairline. But at the time I was never like, oh, I don't want to go out or anything like that. It was more just like, maybe, oh, it would be nice if I had a better hairline, but it never stopped me from doing anything. But looking back, yeah, I mean, I've got a much better hairline. I've got a lot more hair. I think in terms of confidence, the only thing for me is that I just don't really wear caps that much anymore.
You used to wear caps 24/7.
Yeah. Unless I was at work, I was always wearing a cap.
Yeah. And it makes your head hot wearing a cap all the time. He used to be standing on the tube with a cap on, sweating. I'm like, why don't you take your cap off? And he takes it off and goes, oh, yeah, it's much cooler now. Honestly, it was crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you really like it, because it was worth it in the end. It feels like quite a long slog sometimes, but...
Definitely.
No, it looks really good. Glad you're happy.
Yeah. It was good to share the story as well, because I know loads of people I know people who've had it done since, and I know who people who've had it done before who were like, oh, I didn't say anything.
Yeah. And a lot of people have messaged you actually and asked you questions, and you've always been so great in helping them.
Yeah.
Like, we've voice noted a few people off my DMs. People have directly gone to you. Like,
yep.
Yeah. So that's super nice. I'm glad you're helping other men in your position.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're going to get on to the next load of questions now. We've covered your hair transplant story.
Right.
And honestly, when I was reading through them, I swear everyone just wants like the inside scoop on what it is like to be with me. And yeah, what I'm like behind closed doors. So it's kind of funny. Anyway, so for the first question.
Yeah.
What is it like dating Mia? Is she amazing all the time, or can she be a pain in the ass sometimes? There's so many like that. I had to like group that into one because there's so many.
I wouldn't say pain in the ass, but I would say she definitely needs 8 hours of sleep a night. Even just, you know, 7 hours 45 can really lead to some grumpy moments. No, she's great to live with. She's very, very clean and tidy. I don't know whether that has ever come across on any of her Insta stories or anything like that, but she's definitely got some quite OCD tendencies. So,
which can be kind of annoying, I think.
Yeah, it can be, but, well, not for me. Yeah. Because I've got a nice clean flat. But in that respect, it's great to live with her, because she keeps the flat nice and clean and tidy. All my clothes get washed, even though I don't ask, but it is used against me.
I don't use it against you.
But she's a very good cook as well. I think that's been on some of your stories and Instas before.
That being said, I did show your cookie making the other day, and people went wild for it. Like, they were delicious.
Did they?
So considering you never cook, that...
Yeah, but I bake.
Yeah, that was actually a very good cooking you did.
Thank you. Baking.
Baking, sorry.
Yeah, they went down well at work as well. So yeah, no, not a pain in the ass, but make sure she gets to sleep, otherwise you could get a slightly grumpy Mia Baker.
Okay, so what are my worst habits?
Worst habits.
Do I have any really bad habits?
Well, I think it's kind of linked to the last one. The tidiness means that sometimes we have to get everything tidied before we can relax.
Yeah, and I have like really weird things, don't I? Like the toilet seat has to be down. And like, okay. I need like the bathroom door shut and the bedroom door open when we leave. Basically, yes. It's all this like feng shui stuff. And yes. I don't like, if the toilet seat's up, then firstly, I feel like the germs are popping out the toilet if you flush it. So it kind of freaks me out. And also I feel like energy, positive energy will go down the toilet and you can't have that. So you need to shut the toilet seat. Then you want to shut the bathroom door because you don't want your energy to go into the bathroom. And you need to leave your bedroom door open because you want the opportunity to go into the bedroom and like flow through the house. So there's no like stagnant energy anywhere. See, this is the most ridiculous thing ever, but you live with it.
Yeah.
I must have like some proper bad habits.
Well, I can't be too messy. Otherwise I get told off.
Other than tidiness though, surely. I'm actually quite good, really.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to like, I ask you what you want for dinner, you make a request, I then make it.
Yep.
I think I'm actually pretty awesome to live with. I think you should be paying to live with me, to be honest.
Wow. It's the other way around at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, ridiculous. okay. Clearly I'm just awesome in every respect. Yeah. You could be so much meaner to me and you're being so nice. Okay. The one thing about Mia's golf obsession that drives you crazy.
The one thing about me is golf obsession.
You benefit a lot from it.
I know. So I need to tread carefully because I've got a full set of clubs.
Coming.
I've got...
So it's really funny, actually. George, I think it's unintentionally, but I don't know what happened. He just manages to wangle so much free stuff off me because obviously some of my sponsors, like Adidas and TaylorMade, they see him on my story. And he is like the very first time he was wearing, what were you wearing?
Chinos.
Chinos with the convincing law.
Yeah, that was a rugby polo.
Polo.
Yeah.
And
a rugby quarter zip as well.
Basically Adidas saw him and they were like, you look awful. And so that they ended up sending him a load of stuff because they were like, Mia, you genuinely can't have him in the background of your stories looking like that. He looks terrible. So he got all this new stuff. And I was like, I don't know how you managed to wangle that, George. Like, I worked my ass off to be working with Adidas and they just give you stuff in 1 second.
I think that was tactical, A. And B, after I got all the Adidas stuff, I went to go and play with my friends, all of which are massive, massive golfers. They love, absolutely love it, loads more than me. And I turned up and I had like the best clothes and they were like, what?
Yeah, what's happened? Who is this girl that you're dating?
They're like, the guy who doesn't even like golf has got like all the best stuff. So
how do your friends think about it? Like, you've obviously gone from being one of the least interested in golf in the group,
yeah,
to now being probably the most immersed in golf in the group.
I know. The biggest one for that lot was when they saw me caddying for you at the Aramco series, which was actually also an LET event. And so I was certainly in the background, obviously, on the LET Instagram page, and I'm not sure if it was on TV as well. And they were just saw me bumbling around in the background, carrying the bags and like giving you iron suggestions, being like, I don't even know, just try an 8. And so I think that was the moment when they were just like, what is going on? They were like, this guy didn't even used to swing a club like 12 months ago and now he's on an LET event as a caddy. But no, they do find it quite funny because I'm the least, probably the least golfy in the group, but also do the most amount of golf stuff. Yeah. And have the most amount of golf stuff. So
it's quite weird because we don't really talk about golf that much, would you say? Because I obviously talk to people about golf 24/7. Yeah. If you spoke to me about golf or anything about my swing, I can give you so much like technical detail. Mm. But I don't think it interests you that much to know all those technicalities.
No, I don't really know anything about it, so...
Yeah, so you don't really talk about
stand there and hit the ball. Try and hit it better than the last time you hit it.
I know. Yeah, I mean, someone asked if I give you any shots when we play golf. And I don't. We don't give each other shots. To be fair, it took me quite a while to even get to the point now where I play with you and I could actually play. I just lose my head on the course.
I know.
It's really difficult for me.
Psychological warfare.
I know, it is.
What I go for. We've not played properly for ages, though.
No.
So it'd be interesting to see where we're both at. Because we've both got better. Obviously, probably you a bit better than me in terms of the rate of progress. But
you use brute force. I've had to train my swing to become efficient.
I do use brute force. It's quite agricultural, quite ugly. Probably seen it on the stories.
He goes to me, he goes, so firstly, George always watches my stories. He does it in front of me and I don't know why, because it's really embarrassing. And anyway, when he does and he sees himself, he'll watch it about 500 times. And I'm like, why are you still watching yourself on my story? But then he'll come to me and he'll see his swing and he goes, Mia, why does my swing look so ugly?
Yeah. It's definitely the worst swing I've sort of witnessed in the flesh. And I obviously can't see myself, but of others I play with, it's definitely the worst.
But now you're getting ready. You want to get lessons, which is the first time I've heard of it, because before I don't think you were. I think you have to be in a place where you're willing and ready to learn before you get lessons, because if you're not going to take anything in, it's going to be a waste of your time. You have to be wanting to. So that's exciting. I'm really excited for you for that.
No, it would be good just to try and sort it out. Because as you say, if I could get the mechanics right, because at the moment I can hit the ball, I'd say like a similar distance to you, but you obviously use a lot less energy and I really have to try and hit it quite hard. Mm. Whereas if I got the mechanics right, I reckon I could hit the ball quite a long way.
Yeah. No, I think you could be such a good golfer. Like you've got good hand-eye coordination. You're quite like driven. You'll go out there. You'll keep practicing, like going on and playing on the course. Like, I don't think.
Yeah, I think where we differ though is you're happy to sit at a range and just practice your swing over and over again. Whereas I'd rather just go on a course and play.
Thing is, when I'm on a course though, I feel like I have to wait so long before I hit my next shot. And I really like just hitting a ball.
I quite like that.
What?
The walk in between shots and you chat. And
yeah, but you're a much slower paced person than me. It's true.
Can I answer the question about the golf obsession?
Yeah, sorry.
I think the only, one of the main negative is that we don't often play a full 18. Because you're filming, you'll often need to just film like 3 or 6 holes. And because also as well, it takes a lot longer. I'm sure it would change now we're coming into the summer, but in the winter, you don't want to be outside for ages in the cold and the wind. So we've not played a full 18 together for a long time.
It does make it hard. It's a very different dynamic on the golf course.
When you're filming, definitely.
When you're filming. Yeah. Even to just do like Insta content where you're taking a video of your swing, like it just added pressure because you're like, oh, I want to make this good because I'm going to put it on the Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
That is a bit annoying, I guess, for you as someone who just wants to go out and play. And then you're like, oh, this girl's always filming. Can't you not just enjoy it? And I'm like, no.
But then normally we're on the course because you invited me, so.
And then you feel like you have to. Yeah, it's kind of a catch-22. No such thing as a free lunch, they say.
Exactly.
Some of these are so hilarious. So this one I think is really funny. How did you manage to pull one of the most beautiful girls in London? What's it like living with a worldie in the spotlight? Someone called me a worldie.
Wait, did you submit these questions yourself? Sounds like something you'd say.
I've never called myself a worldie or someone in the spotlight. But feel free to answer the question however you wish.
Well, you know, going back to what I said earlier, she'd seen me in varsity, she'd seen the posters at the university, and it's honestly, I was hunted. I was tracked down for years.
This is the most ridiculous.
She was, you know, like an animal tracker. She was just trying to find me. No, we met on Hinge.
Yeah.
In lockdown, which I don't know if everyone knows what it is, but it's a dating app. And
it was when we were allowed to go for walks. It was a kind of a weird, it was like lockdown, non-lockdown. Cause
it was in between a couple of lockdowns in the UK, where you were allowed to meet people outside, but I don't think there was possibly bars open, pubs open, but you had to, you know, scan in and you had to book it like 5 billion years in advance. And you had like an hour and a half slot. So we just went for a walk, didn't we? And around Clapham Common.
Yeah.
In London.
You had two laps.
Two laps. Yeah. That's all it took for her to fall in love.
Oh my God. No. Yeah, it was kind of weird. I don't know. I don't know why we ended up staying together.
Well, you don't know why?
No, I don't know why.
Oh, really?
No, I think we just got on quite well, quite quickly. Yeah. We were also really just open and honest with each other. Yep. Really early on, like I'm really anti-drama, and I like to be, it just makes life easier when you know everything and you just talk about everything and you just feel like you can actually truly be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
You even said that about yourself. You felt like you could just say anything and it's just totally fine.
Yeah, good foundation for a relationship.
Yeah, I think it was. It was very nice. Yeah. We didn't even go on our first like proper date outside until...
Long time.
It was ages, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I will say that was because restaurants were closed.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Yeah, because okay. It was COVID. Right. Like, we didn't actually manage to go out on a proper date
for like six months or so.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then you started living this golf life, which is actually really funny because I didn't put any of my golf stuff on my Hinge. I did initially, but then loads of people kept talking about golf and I was like, oh no, I don't want people to keep taking me to the range. I think that's really awkward. So I took it all off. And then you acted like you didn't even know.
Well, I didn't know that you played golf, but I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You told me you stalked me on Instagram.
Oh yeah, but I don't.
Oh yeah.
No, but I don't think I initially thought, oh, this is a golf girl. I just knew that you had like, at the time, about 30,000 followers. I was like, whoa, is this like some sort of influencer? I know you hate that, the word.
Yeah, I do.
So yeah, well, you've always got to have a little look. You, well, not you, but your housemate LinkedIn stalked me.
Yeah, we LinkedIn stalk. We go one over Instagram.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, your career was down as horse whisperer, so I was thinking, who's this dude?
Yeah, well, you know, it's what I do in my spare time.
And then my housemate stalked me and goes, he looks arrogant. And I was like, oh, well, I'll go on a date with him anyway.
Then he met me and it was confirmed.
Yeah. No, that's really funny. What was my question? Oh, how did you manage to pull one of the beautiful girls in London? Well, I like how they wrote in London. They could have wrote in England or anything. They kept me like segregated to the city.
Yeah.
I guess there's much better people out there.
Yeah, you know, outside of the London, you're just
one of many.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what they're getting at. Maybe we should find who sent this message.
Next question. Do you get jealous of Mia jetting off all over the world?
No, it's great. I don't have to make the bed in the morning. No, although obviously it is a very nice lifestyle.
Quite tiring.
Tiring, yes. It comes with its drawbacks of, you know, you don't have a routine. You're not in your sort of safe space of home. You know, you're always living out of a bag, but...
You're constantly meeting new people and you're never in, like, your comfort zone. You're always kind of on edge in a way, I would say.
Yeah. But no, I think, obviously, that her lifestyle is great and... go to some amazing places, meet some amazing people, have some incredible opportunities, which are like money can't buy opportunities. But I think the good ones you tend to take me as well. So that's good. And then, yeah, it's just sometimes when you're away, you know, I can just leave a plate on the side, not make the bed in the morning.
It's such a weird lifestyle, though, because you're like never not working, but because you love your work so much, you never feel like you are working. So like even now, it's a Saturday. We're filming a podcast because I might already need to do it. And then I'll edit it and then I'll do some other editing. It's such a strange world compared to like the normal 9 to 5.
Yeah, very different to what you used to do.
So different. And then also with you being so busy, I think it actually works, because a lot of people ask, you know, how do you keep your relationship working when you're away and George is at home?
Yeah.
But we're so busy.
Yeah. I mean, with my job, it's, I guess, quote unquote, more of a traditional job. You know, I go into an office, you know, I have kind of set work times, but it, you know, tends to spill over a bit. So I'll often work late in the week. And if you're not here, then I'd feel a bit less guilty for working late, which is all right. And I can just, you know, get my work done without feeling like, oh, Mia's at home on her own.
It's not too bad, though. Like, if you work late in the week, like, if you were working late every single day, I think, for me, I just like to have you home for dinner and then you can work again. Yeah. Just have dinner together. That's, like, enough for me. But I don't need it every single day. Like, I would say I'm not that needy.
No. Not too much. Not like me.
Yeah, you're more needy than I am.
But no, I don't get jealous for her of her lifestyle, because or the jet setting nature of it, because I know that it is also quite tiring for you. I mean, there's been quite a few times this year already where you've come back, you're absolutely knackered, you literally just spend like 24 hours at home where you sleep when you sleep, and if you're not sleeping, you're washing clothes, and then you're packed and you're gone again. And it's quite tough.
And you don't get a good night's sleep on a plane. Because I'm not sat in first class, unfortunately. I'm still in economy, sat up straight for like however many
sponsors
hours.
Are you listening?
Yeah, please help me get a good night's sleep on a plane. But it's true. But I'd say I'm hopefully right for you, but I'd say we're both quite fulfilled in our work.
Yeah, which definitely helps. Wouldn't say either of us is just kicking back, watching Netflix, you know, night after night at home, waiting for the other one to finish. We're both very busy, and we keep ourselves occupied with work, and then when you're not working, doing socializing, drinking beers, hacking at golf, loving rugby.
No, it's nice when you get to come to things. Like, I love sharing my experiences with the people around me. It honestly makes things so fun. Like, I go away and sometimes I feel a little bit like, oh, I wish I could share this with someone. For instance, the first time I got invited down to go and play like Royal St. George, the day after the Open, and I sat in the bedroom and I remember FaceTiming you and I just cried and I was like, I feel so lucky. I don't know why me. Like, I can't even tell you why, but I'm also doing this alone and I wish I could share it with someone. So it's kind of an odd kind of situation, to be honest. All right, this is a nice one. What's your favourite thing about Mia?
My favourite thing about Mia is how caring she is. And that's been there from pretty much day one. Considering, you know, when you first meet someone, you don't expect them to, like, do things for you because they don't really know you. But pretty much from day one, Mia would do things, you know, little things for me, which is just so nice, just to make my life a little bit easier, and also just to give me like a little treat. For example, if I was working late, she would come over to my house and she would bring ingredients with her and she'd just cook me a dinner which I wanted, which was so nice. I think, yeah, Mia always thinks of others first.
You're so cute.
Yeah, you always think of me first. I think a lot of things in your life, you'll always think, oh, how does this affect George, or how, like, where does George fit into this, which is really nice.
I think I like also, you know, with what I do, it's so easy for it's really hard to explain. Like, people would say, oh, I bet you get so many messages, does it make George jealous? And firstly, like, you would be able to see any of the messages anyway, but also I feel like I have to make sure that you feel like you're a priority in my life, otherwise it'd be so easy for you to start feeling that way, and I think it's a really horrible way for someone to feel.
Yeah,
because then you might not even want me to go away, and I'd be like, oh no, that sucks. Like, I don't want to make someone sad whilst I'm going away.
Yeah, well, it's not got to that Yeah, has it?
No, it's that was really cute. I just like looking after people. I like making sure people are quite, you know, content. Same as you, to be honest. Like, you made coffees this morning. I'm Barocca. Indeed. Clearly you think I need a bit of a pick-me-up. Looking rough, Mia, here's your Barocca. Okay, what are your plans as a future stay-at-home dad?
What?
Someone wrote that in. Someone literally wrote that in. No chance.
Wow. What, as in, like, I can quit my job? And you'll be the breadwinner.
I don't think you'd want to quit your job.
That sounds great.
No, you love your job.
I do love my job. So, no, but actually on that note, with, you know, with COVID, etc., my job has become a lot more flexible. And so before COVID, we had to go into the office five days a week, whereas now it's more like 2 or 3 days a week. It's a lot more flexible. So I do actually have more time at home, which is fun.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, honestly, there's just a ridiculous amount of... I don't even want to ask this question. I'm not even going to ask if you don't answer it. When are you planning on proposing? When are you getting a ring? Are you going to propose on a golf course? Like, the amount... I can't even pick any of these questions because they're all just about when you're proposing.
Was that one from your dad?
Yeah, so I don't know about anyone else, but... especially for me, my parents are obsessed with being grandparents. And every time I see them, they're like, oh, so when are the grandkids coming? And I'm like, Mum, Dad, I'm not even married yet. Not that you necessarily have to be married to have, like, grandkids, but, like, for me, I would like to be married before I have grandkids. Is your mum the same?
Well, I just want to know, what age did those questions start coming at you?
I feel like probably when I was born, they're like, so when are the grandkids coming, Mia? I'm like, I'm 1 year old.
Yeah, my mum's the same. She's obsessed with becoming a granny. And I'm one of four, so she's expecting a lot. Mm. Well, she's hedged her bets because she said, oh, what happens if one of you or a couple of you don't want kids? Then I'm only down to a couple. I was like, I'm sure you're going to have enough grandkids. Don't worry, Mum.
God. Yeah, but you're the eldest, though, so...
Yes.
She's expecting...
Yes. But she doesn't... I don't get the same time pressure...
As my parents.
As your parents.
No, my dad goes to me, Mia, you're a ticking time bomb. And I'm like, Dad, I'm not even 30 yet. Give me a break. Things I need to do in my life before we get to that point. Oh, my dad is so funny because you went on the cruise with him and you met him for the first time, didn't you?
Yeah, in real life.
What did you think of my dad?
Yeah, he's very funny.
Yeah.
He's not very serious.
No.
And yeah, he's just very like... light-hearted, he doesn't take things too seriously, and in himself he's not a very serious person. There's a lot of joking around for that whole week.
Yeah, I mean, so many people were like, oh my god, your dad's hilarious with that eat sleep cruise repeat shirt, which he was in love with. He was like, yeah, he's so cool.
He's got
it.
Another cruise t-shirt as well. I can't remember what it was though.
What did it say?
I can't. No, he didn't bring it on the cruise. He has another one though. He told me. I've forgotten though.
It's the same. Like, if anyone were to talk to me about golf, I could rattle on for quite a while. Could talk to him about cruises. He'll tell you every single ship, which one's best, what kind of like
facilities they have, the names of the ships.
I've never known anything like it. I was like, Dad, you could be like a cruise influencer.
Well, apparently there are cruise influencers out there.
There are. It's a legit. You can be. You literally, anything you love in the world, you can share your love with everyone else and then inspire other people to do what you love. I said love a lot, but you know what I mean? Like, honestly, there's jobs out there that I didn't even know existed or didn't even used to exist. And now you can literally do anything. Whatever makes you happy, isn't it?
You can.
Like, we're going to Bali next week, actually. So... that's going to be fun. You've just left your job.
Yep.
And you're starting your new firm.
In June. Yep.
And then, we're going to be heading out to Bali for a few weeks. So I'm probably going to take my podcast mics out there with me. If you guys actually enjoyed George being on the pod, maybe we'll get him again over in Bali. I don't know what we'll chat to him about. Well, I know his whole life story.
I'll be in holiday mode, so...
You'll be fun.
Good luck finding me sober.
Oh, good Lord. That might be quite funny. We will be out in Bali for our next podcast episode. And yeah, thank you, George, so much for joining me on today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it too.
Yeah, it wasn't a far trip for me to get here today, actually. Just downstairs. So
I know you're a little bit nervous before coming into the studio.
Oh, the studio. What?
The dining table.
Yeah, I got a few pre-game nerves, actually. Normally get that when I'm in around the flat.
Alrighty, guys. Yeah, thank you so much, George. And I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Unsussed. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. As always, make sure you don't forget to follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And remember, feel free to DM me any questions or stories you'd like me to chat about next week on Instagram. It's @MiaEllaX. Chat soon.